mesdames et messieurs. Today, coming to you live on the Triple M Worldwide Network. On bass, Santo Chalaro. On drums, Sam Pang. And on a very big synthesizer, Tom Gleisner. So jump on board the Five Ring Express. It's time for the Rush Hour Going for Gold.
Just as the man said, the Rush Hour Going for Gold. We have got a very, very big show, and I'd like to introduce a man next to me, a man who taught our sailing gold medalists Nathan Outeridge and Ian Jensen how to starboard tack, luff up, hoist the mainsail, swivel the gooseneck, and pull on a halyard. Sam Pang. Good on you, Sam.
Thank you, Santo.
You taught them all that?
Yeah, and I taught them how to parallel park as well. You ever tried to reverse park a 49er skiff?
It's tough.
It's tough.
I tried yesterday. It's no good. Got a big show coming up today. Sean McAuliffe is going to be joining us.
Amazing.
Looking forward to that. Jeremy Renner, he's from The Bourne Legacy.
Where's he from?
Yeah. From The Bourne Legacy. Great film. And Tom Gleisner is also here. He's got the quiz ready to go.
And his synthesizer.
He's still playing it in the background.
Yeah,
that's all coming up on the Rush Hour. Going for Gold.
She's So Mean, Matchbox 20, 105.1, Triple M. This is the Rush Hour, Going for Gold, while JB and Bill are in London. Santo Chalaro and Sam Pang are here.
Nice one, Higo. You know what to play now, because it's time for
London Update.
Sam, it would be remiss of us not to start with our golden pond. They're calling it?
Our golden pond.
Our 49er skiffs. One of them's a skipper, and the other guy is a crew member. That's amazing. There's only two of them.
Yeah.
Can't he be the first mate?
Really be taking orders, you know? If we do it.
You do it.
Yeah, you do it.
Nathan Outeridge and Ian Jensen. Now, Nathan Outeridge, an amazing story. In 2005, survived a car crash where I think he broke his back. The doctor said he may never walk. He certainly proved that he could do that. And in 2008, when he was in the gold medal position in Beijing, he capsized the boat. So heartbreak there. So it's great to see the boys the win in the skiffs. And
where do you think it falls in Olympic history?
Well, a little bit better than how our 5,000 meter qualifiers went last night.
This hurt you, didn't it?
The 5,000 only because I thought Craig Mottram. He's had wretched luck before. I think it's his fourth Olympics, and I thought this might be the Olympics for him. But no, he was shattered at the end. It was pretty brutal. It was a 42 strong field. Craig finished 28th. David McNeil 29th. Collis Birmingham 35th, respectively. I said respectively, not respectably.
Can I just ask you about Mottram, though, tactically? What did he do?
He went out early. It was the only thing he could do. It was a pretty slow race. I think he decided, look, I'm going to get killed by these Ethiopians if I keep going slow. These guys are going to outsprint me. So he went out, and they just let him go, and he got reeled back in. The good thing is that they're going to come back and do some Swiss vitamin ads.
So. Oh, well, that's...
Tired. Stressed, now you know how we feel. So they'll be doing that.
Mottram, that is it though, isn't it? Can we say goodbye to him?
No. He said, you won't be seeing me in the 5,000 anymore. I may come back for the marathon. So good luck to him there. Pole vault, Steve Hooker.
Let's hope he makes friends with Ethiopians or Kenyans before that race. That seems to be his only chance tactically. That's all I'd say, Santa.
Steve Hooker, one jump and he's qualified.
Yeah.
Now, I heard a news report this morning. Steve Hooker, the quote, Steve Hooker fired a warning shot at all his rivals by showing no sign of the yips. Hey, everybody, I'm not scared of falling anymore.
He went through along with 45 others, by the way, just for some perspective.
I know.
There's not many in the pole vault that didn't progress through to the semis. We should make that very clear.
They were haggling. There was more haggling with referees than there actually was jumping.
Yes, he's gone through, and which is good. He did clear 550, which
he did.
Sounds about right.
And how about your boomers?
My boomers. Yeah, basketball. A nation got up this morning and watched the basketball team go up against the Dream Team.
We were pipped.
We were pipped by 33 points. The USA 119, Boomers 86. We did get within 3 points the third quarter. Santa.
In the third quarter?
Yeah. That score is a little bit misleading.
Okay.
I thought it was a bit disrespectful from the Americans during the last 5 minutes. They actually played this. So, you know, can I just, which is, you know, we were within three, and then they decided...
We were the Washington Generals.
We were the Washington Generals, and...
I was just waiting for Patty Mills to fire, in the last 11 seconds, 11 three-pointers.
That's all we needed. There's always been a bit of mystique about the US team. Of course, going back to the Dream Team, Santa, you know, and when that famous team, when opponents would actually ask for autographs and photos. God. And I think we've come a long way since then.
Yeah, have we?
Although Patty Mills did go up to LeBron James before the game and ask him for a lock of his hair. other than that, we're going very well. Never more evident, though, that we missed the experience of Phil Smyth,
I know.
Of course, the last Olympian ever to have a comb-over.
And also, was Stephanie Rice there actually watching? What's the story there? Was she there for Kobe, or was she there for us?
The night before, this is the story, is that Stephanie Rice was spotted with Kobe Bryant at the London Olympics, at the Velodrome.
Wow. So is that a nightclub? Is that the Velodrome?
Yeah, Gary Lyon's out the front doing interviews. There is nothing more certain to me than Stephanie Rice and Kobe Bryant.
You reckon?
An item, yeah. You know why?
Why?
Well, he's at the cycling. Kobe Bryant could be anywhere in the world. He's at the cycling with Stephanie Rice.
There's something there. We'll be back with more, and maybe we can actually shed a bit more light on this whole thing.
Some more fine synthesizer work there from Tom Gleisner. This is the Rush Hour, Going for Gold, 105.1 Triple M. Sam Pang and Senator Chilara.
He certainly loves his minor keys.
Yeah,
oh, he does. It sounded a bit like Craig Mottram, actually, on piano there. Just a little bit sad, a little bit melancholy. Commiserations, but congratulations on having done so well to our valiant Sharks. They went down to Serbia 11-8. I think that was a quarter final.
You're talking
actually.
Water polo. Do you remember way back on day one of our show, of course, filling in for 2 weeks? Like, so it's nine shows ago now. I actually came in here and made the declaration that it was an end of an era in Hungarian water polo. Do you remember that?
Yeah, you did.
I didn't know this, but they're still in the tournament.
Yeah.
But now they're out.
Oh, okay.
Now
it's the end of the year.
They lost to the up-and-comers Italy 11-9.
They're all right, Italians.
Look how happy you are.
They are very good. Did you watch the 200 metres last night? The semi-finals were on?
Yes.
Usain Bolt?
I liked it. In the 200, Santo, in each heat as it progresses, they actually try all the way to the end. Yeah, I mean, by the time they get to the final, they will actually go... the whole 200.
They're decelerating less at the moment.
Yes, they are.
Which would be great. The 200-meter deceleration would be a good...
What an event.
You have to slow down in the last 5 minutes, but just enough to still win.
I would watch that.
Did you hear Mark Nicholas this morning? He was introducing the semis. He said, quote, Usain Bolt, not just chasing gold medals here in London, he's also chasing history. I think he's also chasing skirt. That's the other one. But even the improving the sports, the 200-meter deceleration, I was watching the pole vaulting as well.
Oh, yeah.
I reckon you could improve that by actually combining a few sports. If you can combine pole vaulting with gymnastics and equestrian. Like, just think of this, you know.
Right.
You've got the poles, you jump on a horse, you joust, okay? So it's two people, they joust against each other, then they dismount, backflip style, keep going, and do the jump.
Oh, I like that a lot.
That's called artistic pole vaulting.
What about, you know, there's a lot of judo and taekwondo and boxing.
Like it, yes.
Yeah, which I like the idea that to start those events, you set it in a bar. Right,
yes.
And to start the bout, instead of a bell, one of the guys has to knock a bourbon and coke out of the other one's hands, and then it's on.
That's nice.
What about that?
You know what? This actually brings me to the next topic. Does the name Robert Harting mean anything to you?
Does he do a metal show on here on the weekends?
No.
What?
Does the name Germany's discus gold medalist Robert the Hulk Harting mean anything
to you? I know who
you're
talking about. He's the Olympic discus champion, recent. I think we talked about it on the show yesterday. The big news overnight from London is that he celebrated rather hard.
Did he?
Put it that way, Hugo.
Oh, I like it.
He actually went out and the night ended with him sleeping in a London train station after his gold medal celebrations went a little bit wrong.
He didn't break any shop fronts?
No, not yet. I don't think he's even finished yet, by the way, but the 27-year-old has said that after the celebrations wound up, he went out and he ended up falling asleep on a train and he had his accreditation stolen and basically couldn't get back into the village.
Wow.
That's how you celebrate a gold medal.
That's fantastic.
I'm talking about Germany's Olympic discus champion, Robert Harting. And I think
we
may
have...
Have we got him on the line?
I believe we do.
Hello, Robert, are you there?
How
are you feeling?
Oh, not too good. Not too good.
Well, what happened, Robert?
I compete in Olympics.
Yep.
I win gold medal. I jump hurdles.
That's right. Yeah.
That's all I remember. Next thing I know, I wake up. I lost my accreditation, my tracksuit, and my accent, everything.
Now, Robert, we should. You really did lose everything, didn't you? We should fill in. You know, some of the gaps. Try to fill in some of the gaps of your night of celebration.
Good idea. What happened?
Okay, you threw a discus.
Yeah, big round thing. Yeah.
Then you won the gold medal.
Uh huh. Yeah, big round thing.
Yeah, and then you partied with some other athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember who?
Mm-hmm.
Like Josh Booth or Stephanie Rice, Liesl Jones.
Yeah, big round thing. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Get that accent back. You're in I should just mention, by the way, all mucking around aside, you're in a bit of trouble, you know.
Who, Robert? Me?
Yes. Yeah, Robert, you're in a lot of trouble. You're a hero of Germany. You're a role model. You've basically, after your event, you've boarded a German cruise liner.
Mm-hmm.
You've embraced an alcohol-fueled night on the tiles. Mm-hmm. You've fallen asleep on a train. You've been robbed. All your accreditation has been stolen, and you've been barred entry to the Olympic Village.
I know nothing. I know nothing.
All right, I think we might go there. Thanks for your time,
Robert. Hey, where are you ringing from?
Well, we're ringing from Australia, Robert.
Oh, I want to visit Australia. I got to visit a couple of friends. I want to catch up with Dan Swan and Tom Liberatore.
No, yeah. You got a place to stay?
I got to find my accent first. Spencer Street Stain Station.
Thank you very much, Robert.
This is the Rush Hour going for gold with JB and Bill in London until tomorrow. In fact, Sando Gilaro and Sam Pang.
Forget about the Brownlee brothers. I like the Sester brothers.
And who are they?
Oh, come on.
Sam
just played for us there.
Oh,
live.
Sorry.
Straight out of Dingley.
Sam, we've got a very special guest. That's right, they are out of Dingley. Mm. You're quite right. Family sells chickens at the Paran Market.
No, you're
okay,
just showing
Sam,
off.
Sam, our next guest.
Yep.
Couple of clues. We're so excited. Couple of clues. He's the star of Sean McAuliffe's Mad as Hell.
Yeah, gotcha.
Host of Talking About Your Generation. That's a double apostrophe there. Lee Friedman in The Cup.
Oh, now I know who it is.
You know who it is?
Yes.
I'm right here. See me, Sam.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sean McAuliffe.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's radio for them, not for us.
No, you're right. You're right. Sorry, Sam. I forgot. Hey, are they allowed to wear headphones and earbuds? Because Jet would be a great song to run to. You would run faster, I'm sure, as a result of it.
That's a great suggestion.
Should look into that.
You should write to the IOC.
I'm going
to
do that now.
Okay.
See you later. Good idea.
Have you been watching? I mean, it's...
You know, I don't want to say no, because, you know, I'd sound unpatriotic.
Yeah.
But I have, by attrition, I have picked up a lot over the years. I'm not a great sports fan at all. You know, I don't follow it, and it's mainly because when I was very young, I used to enjoy watching, you know, the matinee movies on television. I'd watch Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein or something.
Yeah.
These are great things. And then eventually sport just took over, and you couldn't see these films anymore. So I have harbored resentment for it ever since, and I refuse to participate as a spectator or a player if I was ever asked.
What sports have just somehow managed to get in front of you?
I know lots of stuff. I know a lot of stuff, and it's by attrition. I don't know how I know it. I'm like, you know, Tarzan, you know, when he, as a small boy, just suddenly he knew how to speak.
Yeah.
Could read, and, you know, he's a smart guy. I picked it up much in the same way.
Okay.
If you ask me anything, I would know the answer
What if sports were to be improved? Does it matter?
Sure.
Is it just the concept of... Because I've always thought that...
They could all be improved. I tell you what, I did watch Germany play Germany. This is a fascinating... Germany play Germany in the beach volleyball.
They did.
There's
right.
no point. No. You probably discussed this, but really...
No,
it's simply a different surface, is it not?
That's yes,
it.
That's right, yes.
They play tennis in the Olympics. They don't play the clay one and the grass one. They just play this. They play. And actually, can I just say this about the tennis? What's the point What is the point of having Federer and Andy Murray playing at the Olympics in tennis at Wimbledon, by the way, with all the grasses worn away because obviously they were
because
playing
of Wimbledon.
Exactly, 2 months ago. Because it's pointless.
Isn't it? It's almost just rubbing it in that to Andy Murray to take him back to where he lost.
That's right.
That's so mean.
I know, but and the same thing happened again. But beach volleyball annoys me because it's not even at a beach. They're just playing it in a sand pit. In a pretend beach there is no point. This is just something that they did to make Australia feel special so they could, you know, win another gold medal.
Speaking of the sand pits, I always thought that in the long jump, if you made it artistic long jump, this is my latest thing, if you put artistic in front, I reckon what they should have to do for extra points is once they've jumped, the sand that they've displaced, they should be given a little shovel and see whether they can build a castle or something. How nicely you can do it.
I know, don't you think? Yeah, look, I think that'd be fine. And because you've already started work on it. If you lean backwards as you land, you've buttock shape a syncline in the sand. And it's perfect, so you should build on
you
that.
You should be able to do that.
Sean, if you had to represent Australia, though, at the Olympics, any sport or any discipline that would take your fancy?
I was good at sport. You know, I just didn't like watching it or participating in it, but I had natural talent and affinity for it. I was a very good long-distance runner.
How long a distance?
I was very good. 5,000 metres, that's long distance, isn't it?
Well, it's too far for Craig Mottram, for instance.
I was pretty good, too. I was pretty fast. I didn't wear shoes. I was like one of those African runners.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no shoes. We were very poor. I came from a very poor family. You laugh at my poverty, but it's true. We had no money. So I would. That would be the race I was in. And
I could imagine you as a fencer.
Really?
Yes.
No. Epee.
Well, that is fencing. That is a discipline of fencing. Just did you not know?
I really could.
I didn't know that.
I think I could say Sean fencing, and afterwards you whip the mask off and your shock of grey hairs there. It suits you, Sean.
It's not such a shock. I'm very used to it. But I would like fencing. Fencing would be good, although I don't like the electronic aspect of it. I think whip off all that stuff, all that mask of which you speak, Sam, and all the body armour and everything. Just, you know, strip to the waist like Tony Curtis in The Great Race.
What about something like strip jack ping pong? You know, just actually every time you make a mistake, you have to take an item of clothing off. Or if you're from one of those countries, your glasses off or something.
These are great ideas. I'm writing these down.
I wrote them down. Now I'm going to get rid of them. Sean, can you stay with us? Tom's got something called Tom's Quiz.
Sure.
Would you like to stay? It's all about sport.
I'll be very good at it.
I think you will be. Stick around.
It's the Rush Hour, going for gold on 105.1 Triple M. Sam Pang, Sandra Chilara, Tom Gleisner is here, and so is our guest, Sean McAuliffe.
Hello.
Hey, Sean, is Mad as Hell going to come back?
Yeah, you sound doubtful.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, of course
No, because
will.
You're busy.
Have you heard something?
No. Well,
it's coming back, but your name's out of the title, Sean.
That's all right. That was too long anyway.
It's Con the Fruit or as Mad as Hell.
Well, they assure us next year at some point.
Excellent. Great.
But, you know, I've had assurances before from various networks, and they mean nothing.
Empty vessels. Because you are in the middle of writing and possibly about to film Mr. and Mrs. Murder.
Yes. It's a drama, my friend.
A drama?
Whole different set of muscles. Apparently. I'm looking forward to this. We actually start shooting on Monday.
Wow.
Is that all you can say, Sean?
Well, what more do you want? You want me to read it from the script?
Just a mild
narrative. These are murder mysteries. I can't give anything away. It's all about that. It's all a puzzle, you know? It's like Columbo, except there's two of us.
In two raincoats. Okay, I think it's time for a very special time. We haven't even introduced Tom.
Do my intro, and then I'll talk.
Higher, stronger, faster, gooder. Yes. It's time now for the Rush Hour's Olympic Quiz.
Triple M is in no way affiliated with or officially sanctioned by the Olympic Games, its athletes, events or official partners formally recognised by the IOC.
And here's your quizmaster, Tom Gleisner.
Now I may speak, and the first thing I will speak is... Gentlemen, test your buzzers. Santo. Sam. Sean. Perfect.
Well, that's a disadvantage. They get to press their hand down. I've got to pick up this pencil like Alan McGilvray.
But you stand out, Sean. All right, listen up. What sport has a rhythm section, Sean?
Well, I don't know, but I can tell you that archery has a string section.
Thank you. 1 point there. Thank you very much.
2 points. 2 points for that. All right. Okay.
Now, this was mentioned earlier, Sean, if you were paying attention. How did yachtsman Nathan Outridge once break his back? Sean?
Well, it's four times in total, and the first three times it was a warning from a debt collector. And the last time was on a dare, as I recall.
Sunday. Yeah, that's right. He was behind on his payments on his 49er skiff.
Yeah.
Now, I think it was on a date with Stephanie Rice,
no.
Wasn't it?
No. Incorrect. All over. It was a car accident. All right.
Oh, mysterious.
Kobe Bryant. Sorry. What happened to Cuban pole vaulter Lázaro Borges in the men's pole vault heats last night? Sam.
He defected.
Well, his pole defected. It broke into a little piece.
Well, had you said that, you would have got a point. He snapped his pole, but no. Here you go. That doesn't count.
Sorry, I'll take that off.
Why didn't it have for how high did he get with the... Which bit did he use?
He regrouped and repoled and did it again.
We put it together again.
Yeah. Kobe Bryant and Stephanie Rice were spotted sitting together yesterday. What were they watching?
Oh. I was listening earlier to when you were saying they were looking in each other's eyes and they were watching each other's pupils.
Beautiful.
The cycling.
The velodrome. One point for the gentleman to my right.
Thank you.
Who was British cyclist Victoria Pendleton, or why was British cyclist Victoria Pendleton disqualified from her first race?
Ooh.
Santo?
I was going to say she was dinking Sir Chris Hoy, but no, I'm probably not
sure.
Well, I was going to say she was driving a car. I prefer Santo's answer.
Riding outside her lane. Sam, is your buzzer working?
No, I just like to listen to Sean.
Okay, all right. Okay, there you go.
Buzzer's working, just Sam isn't.
Okay. Here we go.
Starting tonight is what race considered by many to be one of the toughest Olympic events? Sean.
That's easy. I know this. Marathon to Carthage.
The traditional.
The original way, nude, and then you die at the end.
Incorrect. Anyone else?
Sam, do you?
It's
BMX. I was going to go the million metres hurdles.
No, it's the 10-kilometre open water swim. No points you go for anyone.
Okay. Yes, in the Serpentine Lake.
Who is the oldest athlete competing at this year's Olympics? Sam.
It's a Japanese equestrian man or woman.
I'm going to pay that.
He's 71,
but hang on,
or the equivalent of 8 Chinese swimmers. So, it's the same thing.
I thought you were going to do it in horsey years.
Hiroshi Hokuto of Japan, 71, a question quite correct. I want you to listen very carefully and name the following sports. First clue. Sam.
Ping pong.
Second clue. Correct. Second clue.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry, Hugo. Sam.
Ping pong.
Incorrect.
That's when they fold up the table.
Pole vaulting. Final clue. Listen.
Oh.
Sean.
No, I just like this noise.
BMX. All right. We better get through it. Down to the end. Who has used Twitter to take a swipe at Stephanie Rice and Kobe Bryant's relationship? Santo.
Kobe Bryant's wife.
I reckon that's close. So let's do the scores.
I'll give you one more for that one for Santo.
I'm a chance here.
Santo on 1, Sean on 3, Sam on 2. Sean, congratulations.
I win. Congratulations.
See, I told you I knew a lot.
You did know a lot, and you've won a night out with a German discus thrower. Well done, and thank you for joining us.
Sean, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us.
That's all right.
And
that's
as we say to all our guests, we'll see you in 4 years' time.
Now, Sam, I've seen what you're driving downstairs, and I reckon you're in the market for a brand new car. And you've got one of those sort of mid-range ones, haven't you?
If someone wants to give me one, I'm in the market.
You don't have to search the world for the ultimate four-wheel drive. You can go to City Jeep and check out the all-new Jeep Grand Cherokee. That would certainly be your kind of deal.
Isn't that the music to that?
I'm not sure. V6, 3.6-litre pentastar engine, dual-zone automatic temperature control, heated front seats, active full-time four-wheel drive, Sam. It sounds like you're...
Were you doing the music to the Swiss Vitamin ad just then?
We're doing the Jeep one here.
Something with a banjo.
Well, for a tailored finance package, I think you're right. Now I've got what you're talking about. A great trade-in deal on a Jeep Grand Cherokee. Head into City Jeep or visit cityjeep.com.au. They're on the corner of Montague Street and Normanby Road in South Bank. Jeep, don't hold back. Music now. LMCT 10929.
Coming up in the next big hour, Tom's rap, Jeremy Renner from the Bourne Legacy. From the Bourne Legacy. A segment that we love is coming back, Gone Too Soon, I believe.
Can't wait.
Can't wait for that. That's all coming up on the Rush Hour, Going for Gold.
Coming to you live on the Triple M Worldwide Network. It's time for the Rush Hour, Going for Gold.
Okay, Sam, what have we got coming up?
We've got
stuff.
the star of the Bourne Legacy, Jeremy Renner, in the studio. Now, I know you're a big fan. What's your favourite movie out of all Jeremy Renner's movies, Santa?
Of his movies.
Sorry, I just had a stroke on air. So I apologise for that.
Did he do something called the Fart Locker, or is that something I imagine? That's pathetic.
Well, we can ask him.
Yeah, we'll ask him. I'm sure he'll take that really well.
I'm a
fan of The Town, actually. I love The Town.
Well, Jeremy Renner will be with us shortly. Of course, Tommy G will be back with his wrap of Olympics Day 12.
He hasn't had his lunch yet.
I know.
What's going on here?
And a whole lot more, Higo.
Yeah, stay with us here on the Rush Hour, Going for Gold. We're here for Chemist Warehouse, all the biggest brands at the lowest prices. Is that where you...
Whenever I want a chemist, that's where I go.
Yeah, is it? I like that. It's the Rush Hour, Going for Gold. While JB and Bill are in London, on board here we have Santo Chilara and Sam Pang.
Thanks, Higo. Very exciting times here in the studio. We have two-time Academy Award nominee, star of The Hurt Locker, The Town, The Avengers, his new movie, The Bourne Legacy, starts next Thursday in the studio with the Santo, Mr. Jeremy Renner. Hello, Jeremy.
Hello, Jeremy.
Hey,
how
thanks
are
for
you,
coming
man?
In.
Sure thing. Thanks for having
Jeremy,
me.
Jeremy, just one thing, just straight off the bat. The yes. Bourne identity, the Bourne supremacy, the Bourne ultimatum, the Bourne legacy. I reckon there's a series in this.
It might be,
yeah,
you think.
I reckon. You know what I mean? If they stick with it, it could.
Look, I don't want to give away the ending, but if you haven't seen it, if your character dies in this, you could do Weekend at Bourne's for number 5, Jeremy. What do you think?
I'm in.
You're in.
I love it. I love Weekend at Bernie's. One of my favorite films.
What about number? Did you ever see the second one, Weekend at Bernie's 2?
No, I didn't see that one.
Where the tagline was, Bernie's
still
back
dead.
And he's still dead.
Yeah.
Is that the greatest tag of all time?
That's the greatest.
That's a beauty. Now, we'll talk about the film in a minute.
He's starting to stink.
He is, that's right.
They had a couple up there on the poster, I think.
Let's talk about the film in a minute, but it is Olympics time. Do you have any sporting bones in your body? Have you been to an Olympics? Have you participated? Have you dated an Australian swimmer? Have you had anything to do with the Olympics?
I wish it was yes to all of the above, but not so lucky. Actually, I did get to at a charity event, now that I think about it, race against Carl Lewis and got my
wow.
butt just served to me. But
it was
a big
that?
Charity thing that they do, and got the opportunity to run because we were all sprinters in high school and college, and so we got to run up against the greats.
How did you go? Did you get within a
crushed?
A you got crushed, yeah. So he was trying.
Crushed. Well, I mean, I don't know. I was trying. I don't know if he was trying. We still got crushed.
What event was it? Was it the 100?
100, 200, yeah. White men shouldn't run the 100.
I agree. That's what people in this country try telling their runners, and we keep trying. Now, I read somewhere that for the Bourne film, the Bourne Legacy, you had to get into martial arts, or was it that for The Town? In terms of actually fighting, have you got into Filipino stick fighting or Muay Thai?
Yeah, Muay Thai.
Sorry, Muay Thai is the
it's a drink. Yeah, that's what you have after. Those are just things I never probably would have studied at all, but because of the movies, I was able to. Have great experts around me and beat me up every day and get better. It's really, really fun, actually. It's really better than working out. It's a great sort of form of exercise as well.
And it can help if you ever want to play AFL. Have you seen AFL football here?
No, not yet.
It's slightly rough. Are you going to go to a game?
I'm going to go check out some of the some players.
Okay.
Yeah, the Kangaroos.
The Kangaroos. The Kangaroos play Essendon on Sunday. And how do you find yourself going to that game, Jeremy? Is that something you wanted to do, or your entourage has said we should go to this game?
No, I have no idea. They just said, hey, you want to go check out some football? I'm like, sure, I'm in.
You seen any before?
No.
Yeah.
Well, how would I? I mean,
that's a good.
Has anybody outside Melbourne seen it?
Well, we used to actually.
By the way, is this like an identity sort of thing for Melbourne to separate from Sydney? I know there's quite a rivalry.
Well, Sydney has their own team as well.
They do.
AFL. Yeah, they've got a couple of teams.
And how are they?
They're pretty. They're sitting pretty. Yeah.
Oh, how do you feel about that?
I'm fine.
He stammers.
I'm fine. Let's go to a track or something.
Let's move it on.
No, I'm fine. My team's no good. I back for Carlton, Jeremy, and
how many teams are there, by the way, in the league?
18.
It's too many. That's how many there are.
Too many.
Hard to follow.
Yeah.
Hey. Should we get Jeremy to stick around and then
Jeremy,
we'll talk about the movie?
We'll talk about the movie if you stick around. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Linkin Park, Burn It Down, 105.1 Triple M as we do the Rush Hour, Going for Gold. Special guest in the studio at the moment, joining Santo Chilaro and Sam Hang.
Yes, thanks, Higo. Jeremy Renner still with us in the studio. Let's get to the movie. It starts next Thursday. It's The Bourne Legacy. Now, Jeremy, can I just ask you about the pressure of taking over a franchise, so to speak? I mean, I always think about the television series Bewitched, when Dick York handed the keys to Dick Sargent, and
tough.
It really went off the rails after that. How do you think that won't happen with the Bourne franchise?
I really appreciate that analogy.
Thank
actually.
God.
No, truly, I do. I have not heard that before. And all the interviews I've done over the last year.
Didn't you think that? I was only a kid when I was watching that. I didn't even understand what was going on.
I love the first Darren.
Yeah,
the first Darren was good. He was the best.
Dick York, that's right. Are you with me, Jeremy? Like
I do remember that, actually.
Are you going to bring a bit of Dick York to this role? That kind of nervous twitching that went on all the time?
No. There's actually really no pressure, really, outside of performing physically what was asked of me and required, because of what was established in the three prior films is an authenticity, and you can't fake the fighting. There's no camera tricks you can use, nothing you can really do to fake it. So that's where most of my time spent was doing that, to sort of prepare. Otherwise, it's just being excited about, you know, taking on a new character, a new palette of colors, and new canvas to kind of run with it.
That's a good point to make. Like, of course, Matt Damon played Jason Bourne. You play Aaron Cross.
Yeah, another agent from another program.
Yes.
Called Outcome instead of Treadstone.
How much did your enjoyment of the first three films influence your decision to take this one?
Well, it wasn't my enjoyment. It was just more sort of kind of what I'm attracted to as far in cinema. It's, as an actor, you always have to use truth as a barometer. When the movie also does that, and its authenticity just kind of goes hand in hand. So I like it. Like movies from the 70s, like French Connection, things like that. I mean, those are some of my favorites.
I guess I wanted to ask you a question about The Hurt Locker, because it's always in my mind. When it's a great film. I love seeing it. Obviously shot somewhere on location there in the Middle East.
In Jordan.
Mm-hmm. It would have been, it looked pretty hot. It felt pretty hot.
Yeah.
How heavy was that, the armor, the suit that you were wearing? The bomb suit.
All in is probably like 100 pounds. I don't know how many kilograms that is, but
well, no one in the world knows that conversion. I don't know. Pounds, kilograms. I don't know.
That'd be about the hardest thing you'd have to do that you would have done in a movie.
Well, not really. Physically, it was very. It's so hot you didn't feel anything. You just tried not to pass out.
Yeah.
But yeah, the physical was. Went away because it was the mental part of it was the where you're challenged.
Right.
Jeremy, in bigger news, 100 pounds is 45.35 kilograms.
Okay.
Hey, I'm Asian. I just did that off the top of my head.
As he put down his iPhone.
Exactly. I just want to ask
one. Siri!
I just want to ask one more thing, Jeremy, if I can. I've talked about things that you're attracted to. Can we talk about houses?
Yeah.
Tell everyone, though, about the houses and that you build and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, you know, to me, houses are – initially it was a great place to park money because you could – instead of investing in a stock or something, I didn't understand that stuff. So I love the idea of everything all went to hell. I at least had a roof over my head. And then it became about sort of lifestyle.
I'm sure you've been asked as an actor things that you regret. In terms of houses, are there any houses that you regret in terms of I should have put this kitchen here, or the attic should have been there, or
why did I put that toilet there?
Yeah,
that's part of building. You know, you make mistakes, and then mistakes are brought to you every day, and you just have to learn to put out fires very quickly and get very good at problem solving.
Probably thinking this interview was a mistake.
Well, what do you want? Do you want some work done in your kitchen or something? I was just wondering where that was getting to.
No way.
Jeremy, thanks so much for coming in. The Bourne Legacy, it opens
next Thursday.
So go and see. It's a tremendous movie. Jeremy Renner, thank you so much for dropping by.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
That's your Triple M Sport in a minute.
Thank you very much, K-Mac. Great work from you, as always. It's the Rush Hour, Going for Gold. Santo Chilaro and Sam Pang.
And time to talk to Tom Gleiser. How are you, Tom?
I'm excellent, thank you.
And as we speak, they're showing the replay of the BMX qualifiers. Congratulations to Caroline Buchanan, who qualified first in the women's, and Sam Willoughby, who qualified sixth in the men's. Absolutely gold medal chances. And good news, Tom. The when they have the Kieran They have that that sort of mobile, the motorbike basically. It rides at the start
of them.
Well, they've finished at the velodrome, but they'll be using that to deliver pizzas to the to the village. You know, they put a little box at the back.
That's legacy.
It's
thank you.
Cost cutting.
Resourceful. Well
beautiful,
done.
Beautiful stuff. Well, unfortunately, the dream is over for our men's basketball team. The Boomers went down to the USA by 33 points. For those who missed the game, here are just a few highlights.
Kobe reverse layup.
Kobe. Here's Kobe.
Kobe. Kobe scores.
Kobe. Kobe.
Bryant. Kobe again.
Here's Kobe.
Here's Kobe again.
Kobe.
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 Bryant again. Kobe, another tough shot.
And he wasn't even on the court for the first half. That's quite an extraordinary effort. We'll just move on from that. Athletics in full swing. And did you see the women's 800 metres? Sarah Attar became the first woman from Saudi Arabia to compete in the Olympic athletics.
She did. It was a great story.
Didn't do all that well. See, Saudi Arabia didn't want women to compete at all, and there was a lot of pressure from the IOC. So she was out there, and unfortunately, she came last in her heat, but not a bad effort, given she was handcuffed to her husband for the entire... that is not... we'll move on to Germany. They're safer.
Don't do that one on air, Tom, okay? This rehearsal's going pretty well, but that good. One, I just reckon just cross that one out. Great.
It's gone. Okay. It's never happened. Robert Harting, you mentioned, who was the gold medal-winning discus.
Now, hang on. No. Robert the Hulk.
Robert the Hulk Harting.
Tell me, we had him on the show.
You did indeed on the phone. He went on a bit of a celebratory rampage.
Yeah.
But I was struck by this quote from him after picking up gold. It's just amazing, Harting, 27, said, "I've dreamed of this since I was 12 years old."
Oh, that's nice.
Now, when I was 12, I dreamed of being an astronaut. Meeting Susie Quattro, and maybe one day owning my own pocket calculator. You know, they were
just simple dreams.
And two of those have come true.
Probably have. Still waiting on a calculator, but a discus you honestly dreamt
of throwing. Yeah,
of discus of all the sports in that. Well, to choose from?
I don't know. I think anything that doubles up as a coaster for a really big beer mug for him.
That's all
he wants to throw.
I'm always concerned when there's a German on a rampage, Tom. That's just me. I always get a bit worried.
This one didn't end too badly. BMX, as you mentioned, Santo, kicked off last night. It was only introduced as an event in 2008 to keep the games relevant to a younger audience. But for mine, to be truly authentic, BMX events should be staged outside a shopping centre.
You would think.
Yeah, if you really want to grab the kids. Yeah. And while we're on the topic of improving sports, as you have been, equestrian, this is a small one. The winners should mount the podium on horseback. Don't you reckon?
Oh, yes.
Just to fully demonstrate
their skills. Or have a separate podium just for the horses.
Just for the horses. I like that too. And water polo, get rid of it and replace it with Marco Polo. There you go.
Thank you.
Easy. I'll just lay them out there. Now, it's almost over, but it's been such a fantastic game. So I just wish there was some way of remembering the event.
Triple M is proud and contractually obliged to present Aussie Gold. This magnificent DVD box set captures forever the triumph of London 2012. Relive all five of our gold medals, the 100-metre freestyle relay, Pearson, Mears, and those yachting guys. Featuring over 12 minutes of green and gold glory. Though more green than gold. This is your chance to once again share the magic. Leighton Hewitt and Sam Stosur's doubles defeat.
Come on!
Yeah, come on!
Shooting legend Russell Mark's battle with failing eyesight. Emily Seabomb getting her new tat. Layla McKinnon's interview with Prince William and Harry. And local reaction to our Aussie athletes' celebrations.
He wasn't drunk yet.
This fabulous DVD is one you'll treasure forever. But hurry, stocks are unlimited.
Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, this is the Rush Hour, going for gold while JB and Billy are in London. We've been joined for the last couple of weeks by Santo Cellaro and Sam Pang, and Tom Gleisner's with us.
Well, and Higo's been here too.
Yeah.
Thank you, Higo.
Higo, my
hey,
job.
Time now.
It's my job.
Yeah.
Time now, though, and we did this last week, and we're going to do it again as we come to the end of the games, just to salute. We always celebrate the gold medalists.
That's
the
glory getters.
Time to just salute some of the athletes and the performers that have come so far for so little with a little segment we call Gone Too Soon. Higo,
nice.
I'll start us off with the Kazakhstan men's water polo team.
What did they do, Sam?
Played five, lost five. The scores, 14-6, 11-4, 9-6. 12-4, and against Australia, 7-4, which is actually the odds of them making it home alive as well. The Kazakhstan men's water polo team, Santa.
I'd like to farewell Justin Rode from Canada, the 200-pound colossus from Kamloops, British Columbia. He's in the men's shot put in the qualifying round. He rolled up at 6:12 p.m. and at 7:47 he was on his way home. Three straight fouls.
His Olympic experience was an hour and a half. Isn't that great?
Three straight fouls. Did I say that?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Take a bow, Australia's first and only female Olympic boxer, Naomi Lee Fisher Rasmussen, whose Olympic campaign ended after just 8 minutes in the ring.
Mm.
I've seen AFL melees that have lasted longer than that. Adieu.
I'd like to say goodbye to Darvin Edwards, the lanky high jumper from St. Lucia.
Yeah.
Three jumps, three times he heard this sound, clunk. The form that got him a bronze medal at the 2011 Central American and Caribbean Championships in Puerto Rico deserted him.
Australia's 9-time national javelin champion, Kim Mikkel, who failed to make the final. She threw 59.23 with her first throw, 57.77 with her second throw, and she fouled her final throw, narrowly missing Prince William in the crowd, before finishing 17th in the competition. Adieu.
And just finally from me, we all saw this. Tatiana Filenyuk from the Ukraine comes in for the marathon. 100 metres into the 42.2 kilometre race, she was carried off by two soldiers. When Usain Bolt covers more distance than you at the Olympics, it's not a good one.
Sorry, were they British soldiers or were they Uzbeki soldiers?
We don't know.
All right, if you need to rent a car this weekend, now is the time to do it. Budget have just released their best weekend rates onto the website, Sam. So if you're heading away and you want to book a car, need to jump onto budget.com.au right now to get the wheels that you want. Budget has a massive range of cars and trucks, and they're only getting bigger with new locations at Bundoora and Ferntree Gully. So lock a weekend car away right now at budget.com.au. Rush Hour, going for gold, 105.1 at Triple M. We've got Sam Pang here and Santo Chilara and Tom Gleisner.
Yeah, it's a huge night coming up tonight. There's so many things to watch. Of course, the Blue Ribbon Men's 200-metre final. That's at 6:05 in the morning. Usain Bolt is the man to beat. Or is he? Maybe Johan Blake. But I think we know the drill, don't we? What's going to happen after the race? This victory lap. I'm not a huge fan of this.
They often run further in the victory lap than they did in the actual event.
I'm just thinking, should it be its own event? I'm thinking the victory lap pentathlon, where combining the five disciplines of post-race celebrations. One, how quickly you can brush off the congratulations from the minor medalists.
Yep. Yes.
How big you can get your flag as a cape. How large that group of people that you basically don't know that you go and hug straight away. How insincere you can actually make your smile when photographed with the mascot, and how narrowly you can avoid being hit by an errant javelin, because that stuff's still going on.
And how little time you can spend with Tony Jones. It's all part of the...
That's six
the rich
now,
tapestry.
Tom. That's six.
Sam, what are you watching?
Well, basketball was big, of course, this morning for us. And I should just mention, too, out of the Boomers game versus the Dream Team, LeBron James with the first ever triple-double in Olympic history.
What's that mean?
Well, that's he scored double points in three. You know, he had double points in double figures in points.
It's good, I think.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Apparently not counting what Usain Bolt did in that room with the three Swedish handballers. It's fine. Thank you very much.
Right,
I'm going to watch Australia and the United States, the women's, at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Oh,
tonight.
That's a beauty.
They've got a good chance too. At 9 p.m. this evening, our fittest men and women will be tackling 10 kilometres or six laps of the Serpentine Lake in Hyde Park. It's known as open water swimming, or more accurately, open sewer swimming. Keep your mouth shut.
You can't denigrate the Serpentine like that.
Yeah.
There's some great things coming up, of course. Gold, possibly in the men's 470. This is going to be great. This is at 10 p.m. tonight. Matthew Belcher, Malcolm Page. They need to finish no lower than two positions behind the Brits. So that's going to be a beauty.
Absolutely, Sam.
That's at Weymouth.
That's at Weymouth. That's out at Weymouth.
Becoming our traditional spiritual home over there. That's it for me. That's all I'm watching.
What about the equestrian? It's the dressage stuff.
Done.
The
I'm
individual
done,
dress. You'll get to hear Lucinda Green use phrases like wonderful elasticity, suppleness of back, beautifully submissive leg yield and acceptance of the bridle. Who needs 50 Shades of Grey when you've got girls on horses?
Getting quite that's sweaty just here. Describing Dwayne Russell.
tomorrow's our last show, Sam.
Oh, no. I know.
It's our last song. It's time to say goodbye. We have to choose our flag bearer for our closing ceremony.
Who's it going to be?
I don't know.
Should we just thank Jeremy Renner and Sean McCullough for coming in today?
That's a great thing to
and
do.
Tomorrow,
Cal Wilson, Ed Cavalier, Nathan Brown.
Big
another
show.
Big show. That's on the Rush Hour. Going for Gold.